Hello, welcome to the Devil's Trident podcast. We're here after Manchester United have just beaten Real Sociedad 4-0 to effectively go through to the last 16 of the Europa League. I'm Simon, I'm here with Matt.
Heyo.
I'm here with James.
Good evening.
Hello. How are we doing, guys? Are we happy with that victory? I can't imagine you anything but happy with that victory that surely puts us in the hat for the next round.
Yeah, nice. Ticks all the boxes. Early kickoff, so I can go to bed early. That's good.
Check.
Win.
Check.
Obscure scorers.
Check. That's obscure. Okay, keep going.
Kind of obscure, check. Clean sheet.
Definite check.
And banter all around.
Check.
There we go. That's the five checks you need for a good United game.
What is it with your lists at the moment? The potato list didn't make the last cut, but...
Oh, we just need to make sure we don't get any super chats coming in.
We don't have super chats. We're not that popular yet.
Completely ruined my little plug that we're going to do, but never mind.
Yeah, sorry. How are you feeling, James? You happy with that result?
I'm satisfied. Yeah, it was a nice break from the sort of league form that's taken a bit of a... Not a hit, but we're not winning as many games as we were in the past few weeks. And now we've stepped onto the Europa League stage, which we dreaded. Well, I did personally coming because but you've got to make the best of it, you know. And we've won 4-0 tonight, kept a clean sheet, and it looks good. And like you said, we're effectively, fingers crossed.
You'd have to be very wrong now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, barring a massive disaster, we're into the... The next round, like I say, fingers crossed, touch wood, and yeah, you've got to feel happy with that. It's good. It's nice to get some goals on the board.
Yeah, it is a funny one, the Europa League, isn't it? It's every time it's coming up, you're like, oh, Europa League. But then when you actually get into it, and I'm not just saying this just because we're in it, there is decent sides in this competition, and it is competitive because of that. Like when the draw was made and Real Sociedad came out, maybe Solskjaer was just playing them up at the time, but they were top of the La Liga at the time, and he called it like the toughest draw we could have got. On the other side of the draw, they were one of the strong ones, and I think people were worried. I think the league form wasn't great when the Europa League draw got made, and it looked like a bit of a sketchy one. But I think we've been helped tonight by the fact that it wasn't played at their home ground; it was played in a different country, in Turin. So I think that's worked to our benefit, but you still got to go there and do the job and score the goals. And it was a bit of a mad start to the game, wasn't it? It was like an NBA game at the start, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was crazy. There was two big chances either end within the space of the first 2 minutes.
Three
chances. Oh yeah, because there was, weren't there? Yeah, we had two. We had Rashford with a chance.
No, Rashford was our chance, yeah. And there was two for them. 80 seconds in, Januzaj had one that just went wide, which would have eclipsed our record of early goals from the West Brom game, just the last game. Yeah, it was a decent chance. And then more from the goal kick, yeah, we got a break for Rashford, where he maybe could have done a little bit better. It wasn't his best chance of the game. And then, I don't know who was on the attack for them. I couldn't keep up. I'm barely looking at the screen for the for the first 3 or 4 minutes because I was too busy typing my notes about what had just happened and I was missing other stuff. But Henderson made a good save. I think it might have been going wide down to his left. But yeah, it was just end to end. And in general, the first half was pretty entertaining, really, I would say.
It was. Those first few minutes, yeah, frenetic sort of breakneck pace for whatever reason. I don't think the sides had settled down.
No, definitely not.
Obviously not, but for a second there as well, you started to question United's sort of fragile nature at the back. Despite the fact that the person I've been championing for the past few weeks, and it happens to coincide with the fact that United are conceding a lot more, you know, goals that you'd expect them not to. I mean, it's one of those situations where just conceding, you know, if someone smacks it in from 40 yards or whatever, you might say fair enough. But some of these goals were conceding, where it's part of a larger issue, and it's frustrating, but seemingly Eric Bailly's not been part of the picture while this has been happening. So that's a big debate for another time. But yeah.
Well, we can have it right now if you want.
we'll get into it later, I think. But I'll just start saying, those first few minutes, there was loads of doubt there at the back. For either side, it has to be said.
Yeah.
And a couple of hair-raising sort of moments, I think. The chances that you talked about specifically there. But then didn't Maguire have to go all in on a sort of, like, he had to sort of really, it was like an all or nothing sort of tackle, which he made, and he did well with. But yeah, the first half was, it was back and forth, and I was wary going into this. I'm sure a lot of United fans were, because this Real Sociedad side, as you said, doing well in La Liga.
Yeah, they're still competing for Champions League spots. They're not quite top or anything, but...
No, definitely, in a league where it's confusing, with Real Madrid and Barcelona sort of faltering at points. But, you know, you've got to be there to capitalise, and Sociedad seem to be doing that. They've got some good players there. And they, of course, you know, Yanezai, who we are familiar with, who was bright in parts tonight. Yeah. But you could tell he had fire in the belly. He was there ready, wanted to prove a point. Fair play to the guy, you know, fair play. I always thought he was pretty good, but I thought when he left United, I wasn't shocked at that. He's
very vocally against Van Gaal.
Yes, he has. That's been a bit of a war of words this week. I saw that Van Gaal had a riposte.
Oh, did he bite back?
And he said it was so it was all nonsense or something like that. I don't know. Can't remember. I don't have the exact words for that. But he responded, and he wasn't happy, as you can imagine. He's not going to take that on the chin, is he? Is you know, his comments about sex masochism and all that sort of stuff. So, but yeah, that first half. If I pull your hair, what would you? But
we go for it.
Speaking of Yanezai's hair, he had a haircut, which was worth noting. And that was about that for Yanezai, really. But no, the first half, yeah, back and forth, especially in those first few minutes there, you started to wonder, is this going to be sort of the same again for United conceding? But we didn't.
Yeah, it settled down after about 15 minutes or so. I think that Maguire tackle that you're talking about was a little bit later on in the half, but it was definitely a good challenge. And it was just loads of counter-attacking football, basically, weren't it? And it was like, I made a comment to the guys in our chat, saying it's like Sociedad had never heard of us. Like, why would you give us so much space? And because we played so well on the counter, and we've obviously struggled against teams that have done a bit of a low block against us, like the Sheffield United game recently and the West Brom one just on Sunday. So it was refreshing for us to be able to do the counter-attacking thing and actually do it clinically as well, because we just looked dangerous every time the forward players got released. Rashford was timing his runs right, Greenwood the same, Dan James looked like he was selected on purpose because this was going to be a game that was going to get a lot of space. Obviously the coaching staff have done the research on Sociedad and know how they play. Like, I can't claim to have known that they would play that high up against us, because I was taken aback by it. But yeah, we kept getting chances. I mean, Marcus Rashford had a good one halfway through the first half that he should have probably finished, where he tried to slide it under the keeper and it didn't quite come off.
Yeah, back to the Dan James thing. I was, as soon as you saw him in the line, it'd be like, this is a bit of a strange one. But then after the first 15 minutes, you're like, this is why he's playing. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, it all becomes apparent, and you can definitely get on board with it. And we're happy that it happened, because managed to get on the score sheet, which we'll obviously get to later, which is always good to see. But yeah, Rashford's chance. Do you not think he really should have put his foot through it and just tried to hit it low and hard, bottom left, instead of placing it? I mean, it was a good save, don't get me wrong. The keeper did well to get himself big and to stretch his legs and get a touch to it, but you'd have thought that maybe Rashford low and hard, bottom corner, would have been a better choice.
Yeah, I mean, the keeper did look like he made himself big and kind of closed his angles off, didn't he? But he did kind of just hit it straight to him rather than pick any sort of side, didn't he?
Mm.
But maybe that's one where he had too much time to decide what he was going to do. I mean, it was a quick break, but it was obvious where the play was going, in a sense that you knew Bruno was going to cross it, and Rashford probably had time to think, I'm going to get the ball here, where am I going to go with it? And he kind of did neither.
Yeah, we've seen that with Marcus all too much lately. I wouldn't say he was unlucky, but if he fell in a barrel of tits, he'd come up sucking his own thumb. So that's what you can use that if you want. But Marcus, yeah, he's just not quite been able to connect the dots when it comes to getting into the right place at the right time, but then sort of like stunting the finish a little. And a couple of times in the first half, we had that. And we've seen it a lot of times. And there were some things that are creeping into his game that we've mentioned in the past few weeks. Some of them are. I know we're not talking about that specifically now, but there's some occasions where he's holding on to the ball way too much. Like we've said it, it's good when he's dribbling past people and he's being really direct and it's got like sort of an end product to it, but sometimes he's running down an alley and he's getting himself found out. But this finish in particular, yeah, I'm thinking he could do better and maybe should do better. But that's not to say, I think I've said this before on the podcast more than once, but we're being critical of Marcus because we know he's better than that. It's not because we're thinking, oh, come on now. You are world class is a debate for another thing, but
he's on you'd say he's on the tier below.
Exactly. No, he's
on the precipice.
He's on the precipice. But he's a very, very good centre forward at an international level. So, and with the amount of goals and he's got for United, you just sort of expect a little bit better there. And I think he knows that. Maybe he's overthinking these things, but he stayed true to himself, which is interesting because you can look at that one of two ways, because maybe he should have put everything behind it and smashed it in the top corner or whatever, but he stayed true to the way Marcus likes to finish. Yeah. You've seen that a few times. He likes to sort of roll it, kind of reminisce, I don't know, like Adrian Mutu before he did the naughty naughty thing. He's not allowed to. But no, Adrian Mutu had this wonderful sort of ability to just roll the ball under the keeper. He didn't even seem to hit it very hard. And you were like, is that going to go in? It's gone in. You had time to even be like, that's on its way in. And the keeper was like, well, I'll be damned if I'm saving that sort of thing. So no, Marcus seems to like to do that. He likes to hit the ball low. Not necessarily that hard. Sometimes he does. But it seems to be like a favoured finish of his, and he stuck true to that. And
you would just like to see him just put his foot through one, though, wouldn't you?
Of course, yeah.
Like, emphatically smash it. I mean, not saying that is the best way to finish every chance, that you should just put your foot through everything and just hope for the best. And
Van Persie was one of the best strikers United have had, in my opinion, and I think you'd be hard put to look past him in that regard.
Yeah, definitely, in recent times.
He had some variance in his finishing style. It wasn't always sort of bent on the left foot into the top corner. He knew how to sometimes stab it home and do whatever, and Van Nistelrooy was similar. And Rashford's only young, and he's making great strides in his United career, and it's just a shame that he could have walked away with a hat-trick today on another day. And again, I think he knows that, and luckily we won, and it was we don't need to dwell too much on that. But yeah, it's creeping into his game a little bit. Maybe it's overthinking. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is he overthinking it, or is it overconfidence in the fact that he thinks this is gonna be, this is dead certain, just being too casual? Maybe I can't decide which way it is, but he did make up for it later on, obviously. And
of course, yeah.
Like he has done throughout the season, he's still delivering the numbers, like we always say with Bruno. I mean, Bruno has poor games every now and again, but he still delivers assists and goals. Marcus Rashford does the same. He got the assists for Bruno's goal. And there's a lot of our play today, other than the counters, like the proper counter attacks, a lot of them were coming from good balls from deep in midfield, or just around the halfway line, just perfectly executed passes, some from Fred, some from Telles. And Marcus Rashford put one through for Bruno, which maybe he shouldn't have got to, but for Bruno's first goal. But it was a bit of a calamity from the Sociedad defence and goalkeeper, weren't it? It was of United proportions, I'd say, in recent weeks, to be honest with that mix-up.
It was a right kerfuffle, weren't it?
It was a right kerfuffle.
It was a right kerfuffle. Yeah, just a lot of bodies all clanging together, but not in a good way. And then Bruno just like, all right, I'm popping up here and just popping this away. Have some of that.
He purposely waited for them to mess up as well, didn't he? It's pretty much what he said.
It was like he was watching a car crash in front of him. He's like, oh, I can't take my eyes off it. I need to come driving. Oh, goal. There we go. A bit of like a mix between car crashes and football there for you. yeah, so it, yeah, he, but the, that's, That's the good thing about Bruno. He's clever enough to know.
And composed.
That, and yeah, and he could read the situation and be like, give myself a second, this is all going to go tits up, and here I am to finish it. Yeah, so really well timed goal, and I think we needed it at that point, like, because obviously the game was going a bit back and forth, and we needed to kind of stamp a bit of authority on the game, and we'd managed to at that point, because from that point we were pretty much in the driving seat, weren't we, from that point onwards. There was a few moments, but I don't think anyone could have turned around and said that we weren't in control.
No,
the majority of that game after that.
No, yeah. From around maybe 20, 25 minutes, we got a foothold in the game, definitely. And, yeah, they didn't trouble us too much. I mean, there was a spell just before half-time, ish around 40 minutes or something, where they got a cross in and Mason Greenwood sliced it over the bar to clear it, and there was a corner that ensued, and there was a bit of calamity. I think Bailly was involved in some sort of madness. And then they had a few shots, and balls kept coming into the box, and Bailly did another madness of overhead kick on the line or something like that. I mean, I think it would have been ruled out for offside, but it was definitely eventful with Bailly at the back. But like you say, I do think we are securer. I think there's a balance to it, and you kind of got to accept that with Bailly, there's going to be mad moments, there's going to be hurry moments, and it's, you know, you don't always feel massively secure, but he will stop stuff that no one else can stop. Whereas with Lindelof, you've got the side of it where he might be a little bit weak at times. He's not great in the air. He's not particularly aggressive. And it's just, if you could have something in the middle of Bailly and Lindelof, that'd be perfect, actually. Because Lindelof has composure and is calm as a rule, and Bailly is a bit more the other end. But I think I would say I prefer Bailly in there with Maguire. I mean, another clean sheet kind of backs up the case for that, doesn't it?
It does. I've been making that case for the last few weeks, and I'm kind of almost getting a bit smug on that regard, where it's like, look, another clean sheet. Eric Bailly was there. I mean, do the math, you know, and let's figure it out from there. And I've got a good analogy for that, by the way. I think this might be a sound analogy. Okay. So it's like doing your driving test.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a driving license. I passed my driving test. It took me two times to do it. The first one, I failed. Okay, as I clearly, you don't do it second time for banter, because I failed the first one. But I failed one. I had two major what are they called, flaws or majors, just majors, two majors. But
two major majors.
Faults, they call that. Faults, not flaws. Yeah. You have flaws in your game, James. You are not a good driver. No, the first one was an obvious one, which I don't need to get into. Something to do with the wrong lane or something. I don't know. Driving upside down. Call it what you want. But the second one was for undue hesitation. So I was at a junction, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited a little longer, because I was thinking about when it was safe to go. And I was horrified that, okay, the first one, that's a massive fail. I mean, don't get me wrong. The second one I was contentious about. I was like, I was being safe there. Thing is, this is the Eric Bailly situation, because Bailly would have just pulled out there. Make a decision. That's what they're annoyed at you for. Commit to something. Eric Bailly, you might get madness. You might. It might fling off his thigh in his own net, in the roof of his own net. We've seen it against Liverpool. He tried to do some sort of mad clearance, and he sort of Jimmy Traore'd it into the back at net. But he's making decisions and he's acting on them. Mm. And
he's very impulsive is a good word.
Yeah, impulsive. But Lindelof and Maguire are the kind of defenders that seem to be like, tell you what, we're not pulling out yet. It's not safe enough. And I'm not, obviously I'm trivialising the situation clearly, because, you know, but that's as close as I can get to it. It's like Eric Bailly will make that decision and commit himself. Bang, and he's taken everything, and he might give a penalty away or something. I don't know. I mean, he doesn't tend to very often. But Bailly tonight, again, you saw shades of it. He's blocking stuff. There was a block that I credited to him that was Maguire's block in the end, kind of thing. But seconds later, he overhead kicked it off the goal line.
Yeah.
And all of that might have been redundant because there was an offside or something. But the guy loves defending. The guy's committed to defending. And I know we're not talking about the West Brom game now, but the Lindelof situation there, he was just weak as goat's piss, wasn't he? Baye, you got the feeling, would have at least stood up for himself and been like, no, I'm not going to let you even get your hands in me.
He wouldn't have got the run on him, would he?
No, and so, I don't want to be overly critical, but and it sounds like, yeah, like every time United aren't doing very well at the back, and Lindelof kind of gets thrown under the bus, but I think, well, Neville said it himself. He said it seems to be them two together, Lindelof and Maguire, they don't complement each other. You need to break that up. And that doesn't necessarily for me mean going and spending another 60 million on a centre back. Because I think, and I've said it, it's not news to anybody. If Baye can stay fit.
Let's just spend 5 million on Eric Baye's fitness. Like, whatever you can do to legally keep him fit, spend $5 million
inject
on that.
Him
whatever
with ridiculous
house,
things.
Make his house out of the stuff they put in Nerf guns or whatever, so he can just not harm himself.
Yeah, but
whatever.
I'm pretty sure he can still harm himself. He'll do some daft stuff with that. He'll be like, oh, I can bounce around my room with this.
But he's 1,000 memes per game. I'm pretty sure, no context, Eric Baye has about 5 posts just for tonight. Which
I didn't even
we'll
know that was an account.
Get it follows.
Wow,
it's an amazing account. They've got about 5 posts. Just attempted bicycle kick goal. He shot from 40 yards, didn't he? Which was never going in. But I prefer him over Fred, maybe. But there you go. But no, if you're asking me about Baye, I just think it's obvious. I mean, I don't know. I'm not the manager. I don't pick the team. But Eric Baye delivers week in, week out. I know people have to get rested, and you don't want to shut Lindelof out completely. Maguire we're locked into because we gave him the captain's armband pretty early on. I like Maguire. We like Maguire on the podcast. We're big fans of him. But
I like him more with Baye.
Yeah, but to do that early doors, to give him the captain's armband, it's undroppable.
You can't budge on him now anyway, but I don't think he would anyway. Regardless, I mean, he played him every game, every minute before he got given the captaincy. Like, Solskjaer implicitly trusts him, but he also seems to do that with Lindelof. So, I mean, we'll see. Come Sunday night when it's Newcastle at Old Trafford, we'll see who gets the start. You'd think he might fall back onto Lindelof again, but
I think you will do if they've not got Callum Wilson still out, isn't he? So you got to think, and unless they're going to lump Carroll up front, which I don't know, would they risk having Carroll up front on his own? And
I don't know.
But if that's the thing is, if you're gonna go up against Carroll, then Lindelof can't play, can he? Really, because he's nowhere near.
He'll fold like a deck chair.
Exactly. We need Baye for something like that. But obviously, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
On Sunday, but I 100% agree with Connie about Baye. Yeah, it has to be Baye every time. I don't understand why it is Lindelof. But I'm actually going to compare. I think if you're driving, a little analogy, I'm definitely the Eric Baye of driving. 100%. I didn't pass. It took me five or six attempts to pass my driving test. So 100%, I'm Baye, you're Lindelof. We're the that's our driving.
Yeah.
that's our driving. What would you call it? Like personas. There we go. I 100% agree. I liked it.
Right. Not too much more to comment on the first half, so we'll have a little break and get to the second half action then. Hello, it's Simon again. I'm just here to quickly tell you listeners where to find us on social media. We're The Devil's Trident on Instagram and Facebook. You can also find us on Twitter at Devil's Trident. You can also keep up to date with us at thedevilstrident.com. Okay, on with the show. Okay, let's get to the second half action. Now, 1-0 at half time, and overall, both teams looked dangerous in the first half, I would say. And I put in the post that I put up on the pages that we needed another goal in the second half to make sure. Obviously, we ended up getting more, but it felt like Sociedad could easily grab a goal and, you know, the whole picture changes. It didn't really materialise that. They didn't offer loads in the second half. There was a couple of attacks they had through David Silva. He skied it on the end of a cross that didn't come to much. But most of my other notes from the second half, and I don't know if this is because my daughter was knocking around the room and just being a general nuisance and making me miss stuff. But three of my notes in a row were to do with goal situations. Two of them goals, one of them VAR ruled out. So we'll get straight into them because there wasn't much more going on other than that. The second goal of the game then, Bruno's second as well.
Yeah, Bruno's little half scuff, half really well placed goal that did he actually say in the commentary that in the post match interview that he told Dan James to leave it or not?
I think he did. Yeah, he said he said he gave Dan James an assist by him scoring a goal.
Okay, imagine just Bruno just like leaving it and being like, leave it! Just like screaming, or just like giving like a really piercing look to Daniel James, like don't even fucking think about it, young lad.
He pretty much threw him under the bus and said that James was trying to control it, and it just bounced off him, and then Bruno finished it. So he like kind of put Dan James down by like, yeah, he tried to control it, but it passed to me, and it's a goal.
But hey, it's a goal at the end of the day, and there was a lot of controversy. Well, not controversy, but there was a lot of faff in relation to VAR and did James touch it first? Was Bruno offside and all that kind of jazz? But yeah, I was a bit unsure about it being offside in the first place. I was like, I really didn't know why they were looking at that in the first place. But it turned out it was only just onside, weren't it? I thought they were looking at the fact if it was James touch it or the defender touching it, but.
Mm.
But no, it went in our way, and that was good. That was nice to see. And it was good to see the players all celebrating together as well. Or was that for... Wasn't that the fat goal? That was for Rashford's goal, was it?
I'm not sure which goal it was.
Oh, no, with... yeah, that was a different goal. That's
Dan James' goal?
I'm thinking of Dan James' goal, yeah.
No, it can't have been, because that was late on. It must have been Rashford's.
Oh, okay. We'll get to that point. But I might as well talk about it now. Yeah, it was just nice to see them all... Get with all the subs and just be like, "Hey!" and be all happy and getting everyone involved. I think Bruno even was like, "Come over here, you. Let's have some celebrations and that." But the goal, good goal. Happy that Bruno got on the score sheet again. He's not had the best. Not been playing his best for the past few weeks, so it's nice to see him kind of take the game by the horns and ride it.
Yeah, it was nice. Dummy as well that resulted in it hitting Dan James, if you could say that.
Mm.
And yeah, definitely, he put it away nicely.
He did, and it's a really good example of the leadership that he shows. Because whether he called for James to leave it or not, he made the actual gesture of just stepping onto it himself. And he clearly knew, it's one of those things, isn't it? It's like evolution. The weak make way for the strong. You know, it's like, Dan James, I'm slightly step better aside. Than you. Just step aside. And as brutal as that sounds, when it comes to, the tough end of competitions and the real cutthroat sort of atmosphere, you need to take a step up like Bruno did and just put the ball in. And I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, if you just skied it over the bar and you're thinking, right, well, thanks for interrupting Dan James there. He was on to a winner. But clearly that touch that James took was a little too big, you know. Mm. James has that in his locker sometimes. I like him. Again, we all do on the podcast. We like a bit of Dan James, but he's limited at certain things. You've got to remember, he came from the Championship up to Manchester United, and even if we're not currently, playing in the Champions League, well, yeah, it's, you know, we're still a big name side, obviously. And it's one of those things. He's adapted quite well, but there's certain things. So yeah, that first touch, okay, a little bit too big, but Bruno read that and he got onto it, pounced on it, and he buried it with aplomb. If it was,
I was hoping you'd use the word aplomb then.
Oh, someone's got to, you know. with a what? With aplomb. That's what it was. but yeah, if, like Matt said, was it scuffed into the ground or something like that? Doesn't matter. He got the, you know, he buried it, and it was nice. It just, yeah, he's sort of a, like Scholes said himself, he was talking about. The question was put that maybe Bruno would make a more suitable captain, but end of the day, one of the players wears the armband, but
you can still have another, an influence, can't you?
Yeah, to have another leader out there is priceless. So,
we've got loads of them though as well. Like Scotty's one of them as well. Scotty's a big leader on the pitch
To a slightly lesser extent, but yeah, certainly. I mean, Bruno comes with. You'd think the guy's won the Champions League before or something. He's not won a lot, I don't think, but he's got that burning desire. He comes like a player from the upper echelons that's coming in going, look, I know the way, so just follow me. I mean, Cavani, yeah, sure, he's won quite a lot. So you'd expect that from him. And we do get that from him. I think he's one of the other leaders that we've got, which is great. Makes this side evolve a little more. But no, there's no harm in having, you know, you've got Maguire at the back leading things when he is leading things. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Bruno leading the attack. And like you said, with the celebration was great. It was a really galvanizing moment.
Yeah, I think it's important to just have more than one leader anyway. And I think Maguire does lead at the back, whether people give him credit for that or not is another thing. But to me, he looks like he's always talking to the people around him. Maybe he doesn't bollock people as much as people would like, and maybe we would like, but he is still a leader in there, and I don't think Solskjaer would have him as a captain if he didn't have a positive influence around the club and in the dressing room. And I mean, he's led over the lockdown period. He led like the campaigns, you know, for the donating to the NHS and stuff like that with Jordan Henderson and stuff like that. And he's obviously captain material. Obviously, there's different sorts of captain, and people sometimes want to see someone that's going to bollock people like Roy Keane and stuff like that. Mm. Not all captains are like that, but Bruno is vocal on the pitch and he is a leader, and all the good United sides have had that over the years. They've had multiple leaders. You look to the time just before, well, just after Fergie had gone, we still had Rooney and we had Carrick. But before Fergie left, we had Ferdinand and Vidic and Giggs, and with Carrick and Rooney, and you know, Gary Neville before that. Just leaders all over the pitch, and it's definitely what you need. I think the talk of stripping Maguire of the captaincy just to give it to Bruno is a bit stupid, personally. I don't know what that would do for Harry Maguire's confidence. That doesn't seem like good man management.
It's silly.
Man management to me, but yeah, Bruno is a captain on the pitch, whether he is the captain or wears the armband or not. So I don't think it's a huge issue. And yeah, he's effectively like the forward captain. That end of the pitch is the captain. Maguire is at the back, and that's absolutely fine. But yeah, it was good. It was good to see that team spirit, and the squad is just playing a huge role, as we've seen. Like, five changes again tonight, and Henderson comes in, play as well. Telles comes in, play as well. Dan James comes in and has a good game. It's great that it's seems like it's going in the right direction in that way. We've not been getting the results of late, obviously, but it still feels like there's a positive atmosphere in the squad, and it feels like we'll bounce back from like the lethargic period that we've had that you actually predicted, Mike. You said we'd have a bit of a bad run.
Sorry.
And it was the start of a bit of a bad run. Hopefully we're back.
But the thing about this run, though, is it's not as bad as ones we've had in the past.
No, yeah.
We've had a few draws, and we've still managed to grind out some results, and we've lost some, but it's not been like ones of the past where we've been like abysmal and just look like a shadow of our former self. We're still improving, even though we're not as good as we can be. We're still getting better at going through these little slumps, which is good. And people would be really quick to write off Solskjaer again and be like, ooh, couple more draws and out the door again. Like, no, like, you can see the progression there.
Yeah, we're getting better at having dips.
Yeah,
it's in a weird sort of way.
They're getting shorter as well.
Yeah, they bounce back quicker.
Yeah.
The dips aren't as pronounced as they were, but not huge embarrassing defeats. Narrow defeats maybe, yeah, and the odd draw of a game that we should win, but that was literally always happened.
And it's funny that it's coincided around the same time we've lost Paul Pogba.
Yeah, and Paul Pogba is a big miss, definitely, and he's one that you'd like to be able to call upon. Like, there's not a ton of options. As soon as Donny wasn't on the plane to cheer in yesterday, you know, your options are suddenly diminished, aren't they? Because we had Fred, McTominay and Matic, so it was, you know, it's that's a lot of not similar players, but you know, you've lost two creative players right away there. But to be fair, we've gone away and scored four, and the attacking players have done the job. And one of the players, again, we've been critical of Marcus in the last few weeks of not making decisions and not finishing well, but he took his goal well tonight, I think. And that's, like you say, it was the finish that you alluded to, the one that he likes, that he just caressed it home, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He, like I said before, he stayed true to himself. Mm. Maybe that's like a mental state. But, you know, he believed in himself. The pass from Fred was exemplary.
That chef's kiss, yes.
It was such a good pass. And I said, as we saw the replays of the ball being played, because as the ball was played, I was just in awe of it. I said, wow, this is the kind of Fred that played for Shakhtar Donetsk. Yeah, that we thought we were bringing in. I mean, a more offensive sort of player, and with an eye for a pass. And yeah. He is Brazilian. We always forget that. He's the like I said, he's the least Brazilian player. But no, he's still got the technique there when it's called for. And that pass was sublime. It really was. And when you've got a player like we saw in the first half, I can't remember which player it was.
Tellez,
yes. He played a really, really good pass in for Dan James, because he knew that Dan James could get on the end of it because of the sheer pace. Now, Rashford has pace as well. So a pass in and around that kind of style and with precision like that, Marcus is probably going to get on the end of it, provided he's onside. And
provided he's on the left-hand side.
Yeah, which he flourished on that side, as they said in commentary. And we've agreed on this podcast that is where he flourishes. He picks the ball up, he puts the ball under his spell, and then you're thinking, we're all waiting with bated breath, what's he going to do? And lo and behold, stayed true to himself, and he played it right into the bottom corner. Keeper gets close to it, but it's beaten him. It's too quick, it's too precise, it goes underneath his hands. And staying true to himself, like I keep saying that, but like Sociedad would like that. They're a good side. They did the same. They stayed true to their principles, and they were a passing side, they were a possession side. I don't want to say to compare them to Man City or whatever, but of course it's like, you know, Guardiola heralds from Spain, obviously, and that kind of tiki-taka sort of stuff. It weren't like that, but maybe they're trying to build a sort of City-esque sort of, like, yeah, possession-based, and they played some really fast and loose stuff when, you know, when we were, was it the first half or the second half? We pressed them really high, and yeah, they were quite happy, more than happy, between the centre-backs and the goalkeeper in their little, even in their six-yard box at times. Come and get it. We'll just pack, you know. So fair play to them for that. They are a good side, and we've beaten a good side today. But I think, like you yourself said, they afforded us the space. And we were just rubbing our hands together, really, like, yeah, as fans. And the players, no doubt, were that space in behind, which lends itself to Dan James getting picked, because maybe the powers that be thought, okay, yeah, this is how they play. And if that's the case, then fair play to them, because they've looked and they've researched and they've picked the right players for the job. And they executed it. They executed it perfectly. But yeah, Rashford's, thank God that came, that goal, because he needed it. And, you know, there's people on his back, and there's criticism left, right and centre, hither and yon, from feckless people like me. Sort of. But the thing is, like I said earlier in the podcast, it's no, we just know that he's a good finisher, and he knows it too. And the goal was always going to come. Maybe not today, but, well, it did. But had he not scored today, you still know a goal's coming. It's not a disaster for him. But maybe, yeah, like we said before, overthinking it, possibly. But when he got that much space this time, and I think, like I say, Simon, I think you said he didn't have it. He did get it under control, but I think someone was like, he had to think quickly.
Yeah,
and he did, and he executed it.
He didn't have time to overthink it, did he? I don't think, on that occasion, which was beneficial for him, because he is guilty of just not making a decision sometimes, because he runs with it and gets into a dangerous area and then just not freezes. And like I said, I don't know if it's just overconfidence that he thinks he can carry it much further, or if he's just not making a decision. I can't decide. And maybe it's different things on different occasions. But yeah, great finish and good to see him get a goal. I mean, he's got plenty of goals this season anyway, and he's got plenty of assists. The numbers stack up in his favour, to be honest with you. I don't think you wouldn't look at his numbers and think that's a player that's not necessarily in great form, but that's what great players do. You know, they'll still deliver goals and assists even when they're not playing well. And I'm not going to compare him to Cristiano Ronaldo, but that sort of thing, do you know what I mean? Ronaldo doesn't have good games every game, but you know he's going to score or assist or have an impact, and Marcus Rashford has an impact in most games in some way or another, whether it's a decisive moment like he did against West Ham in the FA Cup with a little assist. You know, he'll pop up when it's important, and the whole game around it, if we get the result, doesn't matter too much, does it? His overall performances will come good again. And another player whose overall performances have come good again is Mason Greenwood. Unlucky not to get a goal tonight, really. I mean, he was involved in bright bits of play. I mean, straight after that in the notes is another VAR ruled goal, which didn't go in our favour this time, for where Mason Greenwood squares it to Dan James, and he could have took the shot on himself, maybe. I mean, the angle was narrowing on him anyway, and it was offside in the end. But he had a positive impact again tonight, Mason Greenwood, playing down the middle.
Yeah. You know what, with Mason as well, it doesn't really matter what position you play him in. He's going to be dangerous wherever you play him. But he still managed to, he still provided the same amount of attacking threat through the middle as he would do on if he plays on a wing, which is fantastic to see him just find that form again. And we spoke about it a few weeks ago when he started getting back in the team again. It's great to see him play, because you remember quickly how good he is.
Yeah,
it doesn't take long for you when he's proper on it, you have to be like, yes. Now you remember why he's getting picked every single week, and I think he just needs that goal now. I mean, he's obviously had goals, but people are going to judge him on how many goals he gets, which is because that's the thing with Martial, where people are judging Martial because he's not getting them goals. But thinking about Martial, he still contributes, and people don't see that. If they don't see him scoring, they just see him as not doing his job.
Mm.
But that's not necessarily just his job, is to score goals, is there? And he helps and he assists, and that would have been a lovely assist. And he could have been greedy and could have done a Greenwood thing and done a couple of step overs and hit it in the bottom corner, but he didn't. He knew that Dan James was coming across, and yeah, he was that one's going to square.
He's making doing it. Good decisions exactly. On the ball, isn't he? Rather than what we were criticising him for a few months ago, which was just he was just shooting at every given opportunity when it wasn't the right thing to do, because he was desperate to get his goal. Whereas I think he's settled down a bit, and I think possibly he knew the new contract was coming in. I mean, he signed a new contract for 4 years.
Yeah, it's fantastic to see, plus with the option for an extended year as well.
So he knows that Solskjaer's got faith in him, and I think he's got over his little blip of confidence or just feeling a bit too much pressure. And unlucky not to get a goal. I mean, I know that Matt's bet club wanted him to get a goal, and then he had a little jinky chance before he got subbed off, and then your world got ended. I don't think Fred get a yellow card in the end. That's a
no as well, and he probably should have done the bugger, but he didn't.
No, well, another week,
another loss,
another tenner gone.
Yeah, it's in a bit. So currently, not doing very well. So I might have to just pack it in.
What we did see is Amad Diallo get a run out at the end, and Juan Mata
has
risen from the dead, wherever he's been.
God, I love Juan Mata.
I don't know what had happened to him, because, like we said, Solskjaer kept saying he had a fully fit squad and never mentioned that Mata was injured. But then Mata was never in any match day squads. But this week he said that Mata's been away, in inverted commas. I don't know if that means he's not being around. I don't pay enough attention to the training photos and stuff like that to know if he's actually been.
I've seen
present.
Him training. I've seen training pictures of him
he's been there.
Because he posts on his own social media when he gets tagged in photos and stuff. So yeah, he's been doing bits and knocking around. Maybe he's just been taking time out to maybe requested some time away to concentrate on his blog again.
Yeah, I don't think he hasn't blogged for ages, has he? I've not seen.
Well, he can't really go out and do anything, can he? They can only talk some of the times you can write about a nice takeaway that he has, and some documentary about.
He never blogs about that. He just always blogged about the game and said that we need to do better next time. I think people just got sick of reading it, didn't they? Because it was like we must improve. We know that Manchester United are better than this. Yeah, Juan, we know. Hugs.
Yeah, but he's a cultured guy though, so maybe just I don't know. Maybe want to just take stock and. To write some nice pieces.
Maybe he's doing some fine art.
But he could be doing some fine art. I'm pretty sure that's what he was talking about at the end of the game. We're silver.
Yeah.
Talking about Spanish things and wine and cheese and tapas.
Well, his restaurant's closed. I think that's been succumbed to a coronavirus. That he had a tapas bar in Deansgate, didn't he?
Oh, did he?
Well, his dad had it. Tapio and wine or something.
Tapio and wine.
Tapio. One of those. Anyway, yeah. But good to see him back anyway. And
oh, yeah, of course.
He'll be useful in and around the squad. And
He'll play next week. I think he'll play the whole game next week.
Yeah, he should do, really. There shouldn't be too much danger of anything going wrong. So it should be just be players that need game time and confidence next week. But we'll get to that. And good to see Ahmad Diallo. We didn't see too much of him in terms of action, but good that he's in the matchday squads now and getting minutes on the pitch. And he also looks dangerous, good feet. Good to see.
Mm, yeah, congratulations on his debut.
Yes. So, Newcastle on Sunday, Old Trafford, 7 o'clock. The league situation has changed a little bit since we last did a podcast. When was the last league game we talked about? Because the last game we did was the West Ham game in the FA Cup, and we didn't do the game before that in the league, I don't think.
Was it Burnley?
No.
It was the 9-0, wasn't it?
9-0, yeah.
What was it?
The Southampton game, yeah.
Ah.
So things were all right then, but City still had the game.
Life were good.
City still had the games in hand, and there was a chance for them to get full points from that. And it turns out they have done. And also, we've dropped points along the way. So they're now 10 points clear, same games played, 14 games left each. Is the league done?
I'm happy the fact they've played that game now, though.
Yeah.
Now we're just like, now we know exactly what to benchmark everything and be like, right, we know where we're at now. Let's just hope that at some point, City just go on a terrible run. Let's hope that Gundogan breaks all his legs.
All eight of them.
He's injured now, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He didn't play, did he, yesterday?
No.
Yeah. I said that sarcastically. I mean, thank you, Matt, for predicting that. No, I know what Matt's saying. It's nice to see what you're up against. It's Independence Day. This is the bit where the alien ship sort of shines that beam down on the White House. This is it. I'm Jeff Goldblum. Are you coming with me? Let's fight them. It's that kind of thing. It's a call to arms. Simon, do you want to be Will Smith?
You can
be that weird guy that at the end does that spoiler alert.
Okay.
No, but isn't when it's laid out to you like that, where it's like, okay, this is what you're up against. I mean, we're 10 points behind them.
Is it done?
I'm inclined. We had that few weeks where, and that's why actually. I'm avoiding the question like a
everybody's avoiding the question. Like you both now. You both
like a minister. No, but I'm being like at prime minister's questions. No, okay. Let me answer in a kind of way that should be an answer, hopefully. Now, we had that period a few weeks ago, and we were top of the league, and we were loving it, and we were really laying it on thick. The reason is. Because we knew this was probably lurking around the corner.
You've got to enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah, and that's the whole point of it, though, isn't it? You've got to enjoy it. If we'd sat there at the top of the league and been like, ah, well, yeah, it's not quite the same. So no, we enjoyed it. And I don't want to sound like a negative Nancy over here, but it just seems... How many games have City won in a row?
At 12 now? 12, 13?
I thought it was 17.
Oh, it might be all competitions.
All competitions. Fair enough. Yeah, okay, yeah. Fair enough. But that's a juggernaut of a team coming right into form at exactly the right time, which is worrying because on the flip side of that, Manchester United drew against West Brom and we didn't look very, very good at all, really. I know we're not going to talk about that in detail, but that was upsetting to witness, knowing the task we were up against before it even, came to fruition. Because Everton... Played against City and like that was 1-1 for a little while there.
Mm.
So I was thinking, oh, there might be a game on here, and sort of tuned in, knowing that United had dropped points, a few days earlier, but still thinking. And then City just dialed it up a little bit and won the game. And I just feel like they're coming into a really rough, a quote unquote rough run of games. Okay, they've got all their. We said it last week. They've got all their rough games sort of now.
They're in the rough.
They are in the rough run. But unfortunately, the diamonds in the rough, aren't they? Mm. And they are dispatching these teams. I thought Tottenham might get a win over them just for banter. They didn't. Everton, really? Tricky, you know? No, no way. But no, is it over? I don't want to say it's over. It's not over till it's over. But we've got to be better in the league. It's okay winning against Sociedad. I don't want to sound like Roy Keane, but it's okay. But in the league...
Yeah, it's... I think it's as good as over, and I don't like to say that, because I'm always one
pish.
That...
Pish. It's not over.
Ish.
No, no. I'm saying pish, as in, like, right. I'm not agreeing with you. It is not over.
I'm going out
on a limb and saying it's not over.
I don't ever like to completely rule things out, because I'm always looking at the maths and, like, thinking, oh, they've got them next, and then, you know, look at this weekend, and, you know, they're playing them, and I'm always looking at stuff like that, and yeah. City have got Arsenal away this weekend, and that's not always going to be easy, because Arsenal are getting a little bit better, and you know they've always got something up the sleeve in big games. But a lot is going to have to go wrong for them, and a lot. Like I've said before, we're going to have to be near perfect to get near them. 10 points is a lot. I mean, we play them at the Etihad. So, you know, you win that one and that narrows the gap. But then do you even trust us to do the job when City give us a chance? I mean, I don't think they're going to go the next 14 games and win every one of them. City will drop points before the end of the season in places. But it's a lot to turn around for us to capitalise on that at this stage, isn't it? So you'd think we'd have to go to them and win. I mean, City have got Chelsea in there somewhere, but we've got Chelsea in there somewhere. It's. I don't like to write us off completely, but I think the aim is now second, and if City do slip up, then try and take advantage. But I don't think we can hope for much more than that, just because City are so good now, and I don't think it's necessarily a blight on us as such. It's just that City have been phenomenal for 2 or 3 years, and Liverpool have been phenomenal for 2 or 3 years. And City have kind of rediscovered it a little bit this year after stepping off slightly last year, even though they've still got a great points total that would win the league in a lot of seasons anyway. So, yeah, I don't think we can be too down on ourselves. We've let ourselves down in a few games. If you win the Everton game, you win the West Brom game, you win the Sheffield United game, which it's all ifs and buts, but, you know, they could have been quite easily wins. Like the Everton game's last seconds.
Mm.
West Brom, we dominated the game and we should have got another goal. And the Sheffield United one, you don't expect to lose at home to bottom in the league. And, you know, the decisions that the VAR wrongly went with during the game, you know, if it's all ifs and buts, like I say, but that will put us closer, and that might be a more accurate reflection of where we are, but them things haven't gone in our way, and it's through our own doing that we're in this position. So I think second is now the main focus, because you can quite easily get dragged into the top four race. I mean, Leicester are on equal points with us.
Mm.
So I don't think they can get complacent, though, and I think they really need to go all out for wins now and secure top four quickly, because we don't want to go into the latter stages of the season again.
No, we need to get it boxed off, really. We don't want to be slipping down and doing a Leicester last season where they just find themselves in the Europa League because of that.
That's a good example.
And we definitely don't want that, because we've been through quite a lot this season and like I said before, we've progressed a lot, and it'd be a huge waste if we managed to drop this. And but ideally, maybe if we don't win the league and we come second again, it's still progression on last season. It's still progress again, and we need to be happy with that, and United fans need to see it as a positive. Second, maybe one or two trophies would be absolutely perfect, wouldn't it? So win the Europa League, and then possibly do the FA Cup, I don't know. And second, buzzing.
Yeah, I would add, keeping City within viewing distance. Do you know what I mean?
Don't let them run away with it.
Don't let them go 16, 20 points ahead. You know, if we can... I'm not saying let's keep them within 10 points or whatever, but you know what I mean? Like, the goal was probably to get closer to those top sides, and there's a good chance we can finish above Liverpool, but don't let ourselves down by being a really, really far behind second to City, because we did that under Jose, and we're probably going to get less points than we did under Jose when we were miles behind City. So you don't want it to be compared to that. You want to keep them a better distance, and that's another confidence boost. But yeah, a trophy is obviously important. But for me, the emphasis has to be on Sunday now. I think we have to field a strong side, even if the league isn't winnable, is what I'm saying.
You go all in, and this is what we're saying. It's keep City at arm's length. Keep them honest, because it might not seem like a title race at the minute, but, you know, it is. It is. I mean, right now it is, because nothing's certain, nothing's predetermined. So Man City are on this, like we've said, amazing run of form, which, again, like you've said, they'll drop points. Where and when, we don't know, but we've got to be there. We've got to be ready to capitalise when that happens, and or if that happens, because they're very strong at the minute. You know, I'm not saying they won't drop any points, but they are doing all the right things to suggest that they won't. It's pretty hard to beat them at the minute. But they have got a strong run of games coming, so who knows. But playing against Newcastle at the weekend, that'll be a real signifier of what we're really ready to lay down. You know, when it comes to when it's all said and done at the end of the season, like, where are we going to be in the reckoning? That one against West Brom was very disappointing, I thought, because even then, because without getting caught up in the title picture or anything like that, we found ourselves above Liverpool at the minute. Liverpool, okay, they might be in, for them, it's kind of free fall. You know, for another team, it's a dip in form. For them, for the being the...
For the level they were at.
Oh, yeah, of course. So they're kind of like in a tailspin, and it's worrying league-wise for them. I know they won yesterday, but in the Champions League, but it's worrying for them in the league, of course, as the champions in their defence. And if you'd said at the start of the season, you know, we'll finish above Liverpool, you'd grab that. You'd take it. Of course you would.
You'd think you were close to winning the league if you finished
exactly.
above Liverpool.
Yeah. And football's a crazy sport in that regard. So this game, yeah, I want to see Manchester United, right? I want to see them put on a really, really good performance against Newcastle. Come away with 3 points. Well, obviously it's at home, but, you know, come away from that with 3 points. And it's like we seem to be saying it all the time. Put a performance in. Put a statement, you know, put a statement out there. Put your marker down to sort of suggest, yeah, we're not dead yet. We're still here, and
we're still fighting for this league.
We're still fighting. Yeah, you've got to go to Bristol and get some at wherever they're going to go. God knows Bristol aren't even the Premier League, but I'm so mad right now. That's why I don't even know where they're going next. Chelsea probably or something, you know. But yeah, keep them honest. Keep them at arm's length. And what Matt said there is really crucial, actually, because you kind of forget about the cup competitions. I mean, we played one tonight, but imagine, yeah, I mean, if we can sustain this form in the league, I mean, well, not this current form, because clearly we've not can't win a game for love nor money.
Sustain this position.
the position. So, yeah, you know, can finish second and maybe get our hands on some silverware. That's a massive, like, incremental improvement on last year. Silverware and finishing fourth, you'd accept. Fifth, okay, maybe not so much, but if Ollie could get his hands on the Europa League or the FA Cup, then things start to look slightly different, and it's like it can be offset against your league position. And we know that Jose did really do that. He went all in, didn't he?
Yeah.
He sort of tanked the Premier League so he could get to the Europa League just to shove it in people's faces. But and we know Ollie's not that kind of manager, but we know that silverware means I don't know, almost as much to him as Mourinho, and maybe more so for different reasons. But Solskjaer isn't going to tank the league position. But then again, Solskjaer has finished third with United in the Premier League. So again, it's like you don't get any silverware for that, do you?
No.
It's tough. It's really tough. You can't have it all. Yeah. We wish we could.
I think just if you can wrap the Champions League spot up as early as possible, because we're in pole position to get in the top four, just because of who we're competing with. You can see a few of the teams falling away. Like, Everton have lost a few games, and they're not quite as close to us anymore. West Ham are going well, but
we need to be worried about Chelsea, I think.
Chelsea are Chelsea are coming
back.
They're
on the up.
Yeah, and we play them soon, so that is a worry at Stamford Bridge. But, yeah, if we can carry on in second and just get the job done, get it over the line, it's going to affect how we do in the Europa League and the FA Cup in the latter stages. You know, if we've got the league position and the Champions League spot solidified going into the latter stages in the last few weeks, then that's a big plus point in it. I think that's got to be the aim, so that they can give themselves the best chance to win a trophy. And, you know, if they need to rest players for the last few games of the league season with a spot in the back pocket, that has to be the aim. And I'm not saying that is a given at all, but I think that has to be the aim now. And yeah, if City trip up, and that'd be great. But it's asking a lot for City to drop more points than us in the last 14 games, I think.
I think we're in a good position as well because we've got a really strong squad.
Yeah.
When we have Paul Pogba back, we've got ease, like we're getting rotating players, and we've made five changes tonight. Like, we can easily compete in all these competitions with the squad we have this season.
Yeah.
And that's a massive positive.
Yeah.
And it's obviously something we've not been able to really do in recent years. So there's no reason why we can't go out and win as much as possible. League, it's not over till it's over, like Connie said, but let's just make sure we tick all the boxes and win everything we could possibly win.
Yeah. That's kind of a preview for Newcastle. We're not going to talk any more about that game because we've been talking for an hour now. So we'll just have some quick predictions for that game on Sunday night. And I promise you this time that we will podcast after this game. Last week we got waylaid by my wife being surprise romantic on Valentine's Day. I didn't realise we had plans.
Oh, yeah, one of them Monty boxes. Kitchen boxes. Shout out to
Monty's Kitchen.
I might get one this weekend. I've been putting off for too long. And I could eat one myself. And that's all I'm worried about, is I don't want to eat a full box myself. But if I have to.
Well, you could do one on your own. Yeah,
could I do it over a weekend?
Yeah, it's fridgeable. Oh, yeah.
There we go, it's a game changer. Also, before we move on to actually talking about the Newcastle game, has anyone seen that video of Steve Bruce talking about bacon?
What did you say about bacon?
Yeah, that one. That's exactly one. Someone asked him a question, but it's obviously nothing to do with bacon, but Steve Bruce replies with, you talking about bacon or something? He asked him about how the bacon was. It's like, no one asked him what the bacon was about. Steve Bruce, you absolute legend. Loves his bacon.
Bacon on the mind.
Obviously. I'll link you to it. You'll love it. It's only like a second long, but it's just well funny.
Is it like Bruce getting in and out of chairs?
No, but that is good. Brucey at weddings. That's a good Twitter.
That is good.
Steve Bruce at weddings is a fantastic Twitter page.
I've not seen any of that.
Oh, God, that is good. It's not things been as active recently.
Well, there's not been any weddings.
But I mean, they're all stock photo weddings, so it don't really matter. I think it's more there's nothing really good to Steve Bruce material.
Okay. Anyway, what's your prediction for Sunday?
2-1 to United.
So not a comprehensive win, a tight win.
I think Newcastle are going to get a scrappy goal at the end, but I think we're going to score two in the first half. Look like we're really comfortable, and then they're going to get a scrappy goal and end up. Second half. I'm going to go with Martial, Rashford, and Joe Linton.
Fair enough.
No one asked for that, but I've told you it. So
okay, James, what are you thinking for the weekend? Big result or just
what are you up to?
What we're doing? Well, you know, I'm off to the.
What are you having for dinner?
I'm off to a restaurant, and then I'm off to a nightclub to do some boogieing. Which, you know, have you ever seen Footloose?
Yeah.
Neither have I, but Kevin Bacon against some evil guys or whatever it is, I don't know.
It's about bacon.
Steve
Bruce's favourite film.
Got Steve Bruce on the mind, haven't I?
So, mashed potato first and then we're on to bacon.
No,
to bacon.
Obscurity is happening.
I like streaky bacon more than normal, like over normal bacon. Just putting it out there.
Okay.
Last week it was potatoes and now...
I've just said that.
It's bacon. I can't believe it.
I'm cutting you off.
Cold turkey.
Cutting off my bacon.
Sorry, I'm going to come back in, actually. we had a comment from Adam that listens to the show, and he just messaged me on Instagram and just said, he liked the new episode, but he sensed my irritated dad tone, I think it was, when I was trying to get you two to stop talking about potatoes, and I was like, yeah, that sounds about right.
That's pretty much what happens most weeks.
I had to nip it in the bud, yeah. But yeah, I sounded like an irritated dad, which is, to be fair, is what I am, so there you go. Yeah, anyway, James, back onto your no bacon, no potatoes, scoreline.
Football.
Okay. I think United will... 3-1.
3-1.
I think we'll win 3-1.
I would be happy.
Yeah, I just can't see past us. I can't see a clean sheet, unfortunately.
Unless Eric Bailly plays.
You never know. Yeah. You never know. Maybe it's dependent on it, but maybe it's down to De Gea as well. Who knows? I don't want to get into a big political thing, but I don't know. I just get the feeling. The goals are there for us. They always are. But it's just kick ourselves.
It's just the other end, isn't it?
Yeah, repeatedly.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a 3-0 win, and I don't know who's going to score, but I feel like Mason Greenwood is due one, so I'm going to say him for one of them, and that is about all I'm going to predict.
Oh, well, you said one, you might as well say the other two.
Marcus Rashes. I mean, Rashford.
yeah, I'll go for Rashes. Have we got anybody Spud-based? No.
No.
If you think of a potato-based United player,
or just any food-based.
Send us a message and I'll like edit it in next time. Anyway, I won't edit it in. How can I do that?
Josh looks over it. He's going back and retroactively changing it.
Retrospective.
Matt shot first.
The re-release podcast, yeah.
With his spud gun.
Anyway, we're going now. I have been Simon, he has been Matt.
I have been Matt. If you want to hear more about potatoes and other food-based things, you can always find me on Twitter at MTCUK, where I always talk about potatoes.
He doesn't.
So don't tell people that.
But don't follow him anyway. And James, where can they find you?
You can find me at...
You can't remember, can you?
No.
Is it Kononov or Connie Eat World?
No. I'm Connie Eat World on Instagram. But I didn't realise we were breaking the fourth wall there. People can find us. I'm afraid.
Well, this is...
No, I'm Ollie Gunner, and the boys are fantastic tonight, but I've got to go now. See you later.
See you later, Ollie. Right, I've been Simon. We'll see you on Sunday. Bye.
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 Bye. Eric.